Gracious God, we thank you for any new truth we may learn from your word today. May all that is said and all that is heard be to your glory and lead to greater understanding of your kingdom. In the name of your risen Son and in the strength of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's gospel reading has been described as a passage high on the list of the things we wish Jesus hadn't said. Because what Jesus says paints an image of him not as the Prince of Peace, nor as that gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that we learnt about in our childhood, but as an agent of provocation, of challenge, and ultimately of radical choice. And it makes us feel uncomfortable. I have come to bring fire on the earth, Jesus said. I wish it had already started burning. It will cause conflict and division, even between your nearest and dearest. With these strange and unsettling words, Jesus reveals that becoming a disciple of his will, in all certainty, entail significant consequences. Because the challenge of the gospel, authentically lived out, is both countercultural and contrary to human inclinations, and will, with certainty, attract conflict and division. As a disciple, we will, in the end, find ourselves drawn into challenging injustices, standing up for the rights of the bullied, the marginalised and the vulnerable, speaking out about the pollution of the earth, the impact of global warming, opposing greed-inspired wars and sanctions against the world's poorest people, and confronting those who would exploit the world's resources to benefit the rich at the expense of the poor. In fact, as a disciple, we will find ourselves burning with love against everything that diminishes our neighbour. How I wish that fire had already been kindled, Jesus said. It seems then that to be a disciple there is no middle ground. Loyalties must be declared, commitments honoured, and choices made. Are we willing to risk losing the easy life, popular approval, even family loyalties, in order to join in God's mission to build a kingdom that is different from the pervading greed and self-centeredness of the present time? A kingdom where the vulnerable and the marginalized have places at the table. Because Jesus warns that remaining faithful to him and his message is going to be tough. We might start off with evangelistic zeal and set out on a high. But as we begin to be faithful to his word, we move into unfamiliar territory and life gets in the way. Unexpected obstacles seem to appear in our path, and this race becomes harder than we thought it would be. There's very little applause. Often there is apathy, sometimes jeering. We are misunderstood. Our actions are labelled goody-goody or interfering. Our efforts at mediation are seen as giving in or showing weakness. When we point out that there might be a less judgmental, confrontational way of reacting to an incident, we find ourselves ignored. This race we are called to run is tough. And perhaps we're even tempted to throw in the towel. But the letter to the Hebrews is full of encouragement. We're not alone. First, we can take encouragement from the heroes of the past who, by faith, overcame trials or tribulations to run the race that was set before them. Moses, Joshua, Gideon and Samson, David and Samuel, the prophets. There are too many, the writer said, to mention in that catalogue of faith. But all of them, through faith, found that their weaknesses became strengths and discovered that they were able to survive doubts, even survive prison and persecution with courage and perseverance. His list contains only Old Testament characters, but we could add some from the New Testament, Peter and Paul, James and John, Thomas. And the list doesn't stop when the biblical narrative stops. There are saints in our history, St. Dunstan, St. Benedict, St. Columba, St. Francis, and so on and so forth. But in our recent memory, we might add to that list such people as Oscar Romero, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela. What about Rosa Parks, the black African-American seamstress who refused to give up her seat on that segregated bus in Montgomery in 1955? Action that inspired the non-violent civil rights movement led by another faith hero, Martin Luther King. What about Stephen Lawrence's mum, featured in a recent Songs of Praise programme, who, out of the tragedy that struck her family in an unprovoked racist attack on the streets of Eltham in 1993, began a campaign to seek truth and justice and challenge institutional racism. Visionary, faith-filled steps by ordinary people in the past who can inspire and encourage us as we work out our response to the challenges of our time. And you may even know some yourself. People who have, in their own small way, challenged oppression, spoken up about people being excluded, injustice, perhaps you know them in your workplace or even in church. They will have taught us, if we haven't experienced it for ourselves, that faith, hope, and trust are not easy to sustain, especially if one's life has been punctuated by episodes where trust has been betrayed, hopes have proved unfulfilled, or where tragedy or fear has filled each passing day. Yet somehow, by faith, they persevered. They have become part of that great cloud of witnesses who can inspire and encourage us as we run our race. So when being a Christian gets difficult, we can take encouragement from the heroes of the past. And then, we mustn't get discouraged if our expectations are not met, our prayers seem to go unanswered, our hard work, even sacrificial work for the kingdom, appears to show no immediate result. In following Christ, the race that we are called to run has to be seen in the long term. It's all part of a bigger story, like a relay race. Our calling is to play our part now. Run the race we are called to run now. And then pass the baton on safely. And again, for that we have role models of the past. Peter and Paul didn't see the promise of a new kingdom fulfilled in their lives. And yet, in faith, they persevered. There were many prisoners of apartheid in South Africa, imprisoned on Robben Island, and they didn't live to see the end of the apartheid system. They didn't see Nelson Mandela released and then elected as the first black president of South Africa. And yet, in faith, they saw out their prison term. And we can't have a quick peek to the last page of the book in order to find out how things will turn out for us. We can't read any further in the book of life than the chapter we're up to. But we can keep the faith. Because we do have that record of what has gone before and the example of those who persevered in their faith. And their stories give us the confidence to continue to speak God's word faithfully, to trust that God's kingdom is coming on earth as in heaven, and to have the courage to play our part in achieving it now. And thirdly, this is a race we can all run. And we can all run it because we are treasured and loved. Loved absolutely, no matter how weak we are or how flawed we are. Those faith heroes were humans, full of sins and doubts and fears. Moses, who led the people through the Red Sea as if it was dry land, murdered a man in a fight. Rahab, we know, was a prostitute. And King David, that all-time Jewish ideal of leadership, was a womanizer and a weak father to a dysfunctional family. James and John squabbled over the best seats in the kingdom. Peter denied his Lord repeatedly, and Thomas voiced his doubts. Human beings, they often struggled with their day-to-day relationship with God. Baroness Lawrence admitted on the Songs of Praise program that, yes, to start with, she was really angry with God. Why my Stephen? Why him? And in a book that she's written, she wrote that time and time again she was frustrated in her faith because of that long time, 2 decades that it took to get any justice. But, she said, in the end, I would simply ask for strength and guidance. And it was enough. None of those faith heroes of the past possessed a logically worked out intellectual certainty about the faith, about the future. They weren't pious or perfect, but they did have faith and hope, based not on where they were going, but on who it was that was travelling with them. And that's the point. Ever been lost in a strange town? Ask directions of the locals. You know, you get those immensely complex set of directions with lots of lefts and rights, and those you've asked, you know, you always finish up with those wonderful words, "You won't miss it." So you set off, following what you can remember of the instructions. First left, second right, turn left at the old post office. But gradually you begin to lose confidence, and you sense that you're getting nowhere fast. How different it is if the person that you ask for directions says, "I'm going that way. Come with me." And that is what is on offer with Jesus. Someone to come with us, to be there alongside us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, said the writer to the Hebrews. keep him in our sights, and we will never be alone. We can run this race, we can overcome, but it isn't going to get any easier. It doesn't take a genius to interpret the signs of the present age. Greed and bullying, false news and manipulation of facts, the marginalised and the vulnerable abused or ignored, and the world's resources plundered and polluted. But neither should it take a genius to interpret what Jesus is calling us to by his challenging words. You can predict the weather. Why can't you judge for yourselves what is right? Are we failing to discern the signs of the times because we don't want our lives disturbed? Because we want to avoid the conflict that would inevitably flow from a faithful witness to God's coming kingdom? Jesus calls us to live out the values of that kingdom here and now. And yes, it's true that we wish he hadn't said those unsettling words about fire and conflict and division. But inspired by the example of our faith heroes, and cheered on by that cloud of witnesses who run ahead of us, and by keeping our eyes fixed on him, the crucified and risen Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, we too can be the people of faith through whom his true peace may be revealed. Jesus Christ is our living hope. So whatever we do, when we stand up for what is right against the culture of our society, let's do it with a certain hope that we are treasured and loved, flaws and all. Because in faith, whatever challenges we face, we know that Christ walks alongside us and will do always until the end of time. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.